Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. And all customers can double their money as long as Tampa Bay doesn't lose by 74 points. I think that's kind of a no-brainer there. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN. This is for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply, in partnership with MetEase Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dustin, I'm betting that Tampa Bay doesn't lose by 74 points. What do you think?
It's a fair bet. It's a fair bet. I love these bets that they offer up. They just sound hilarious. And I'm just waiting for the first one to actually happen, though, for Tampa Bay to get beat by 75.
Don't hold your breath for that. This is another one of those. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, great time to try it. Great offer. I mean, you automatically get the $200 in free bets, and then you double it up pretty much automatically. They should just say, you know, it's automatically going to be doubled. Anyway, I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. And Dustin, we're turning the page from August to September, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's college football season.
It's game week. It's game week, and it just didn't feel like it was going to happen for a while. So it's good. It's good to get an actual opponent in front of us to talk about, and we'll do that. And we'll talk one last time just about the season as a whole. You know, from this point forward, we are week to week looking at what's happening each week. So now let's look at this team one more time before they get into Wisconsin.
Let's do it. But first, let's get our news and notes out of the way in quarter number one. There was actually football, and I kind of loved it. It was week zero, Dustin. Okay, week zero. The biggest game, most relevant to us, it was a Big Ten game between Illinois and Nebraska. I didn't realize there was such a thing until this game, that there's a must-win game in August. This was really a must-win game for Nebraska. They lost. You know, it's Scott Frost done in Nebraska.
It looks like I don't even know if it's the beginning of the end. It's the midway point to the end for him. It's hard to believe that he's going to make it out of this season, especially with the ominous start from this past weekend. You know, that's a flat loss to an Illinois team that's really trying to stock the cupboards more than anything. Brett Bielema, I know they're going to be more competitive, just as, you know, Greg Schiano has done at Rutgers. I think Brett Bielema on a weekend and week out basis, that Illinois team is going to be more competitive than we're used to, and that's great. But they're still in, I think, the early stages of building something there. So to go in there as Nebraska with a, you know, a veteran quarterback in Adrian Martinez, and to walk out of there with a loss, you know, the scoop and score fumble as time expired at halftime. I mean, just, boy, it's just an ugly bit of football for Nebraska. And Scott Frost, you know, as much as anything, this is Operation Avoid Embarrassment this season. Let's try to maintain the status quo. Let's shoot for 6-6. Maybe beat a team that we're not supposed to and just take care of all the teams that we should, but is not off to that start, and it does not look good. I think he's 12-21 now in Nebraska. I do think it's fair to conclude that this just isn't working out there. They got a new AD in Trev Alberts. I think there's going to be changes coming sometime pretty soon.
And, Dustin, I think it also points to how important that quarterback position is and who you, as a coach, who you tie yourself to. And I'm going to use that as our segue to start talking Penn State. So Adrian Martinez, no other way to put it, he's been a disappointment at Nebraska. Now we switch to Sean Clifford. And according to Jaquan Brisker, he's the best quarterback in the country.
According to Jaquan Brisker, and I think this was his job to say that. The hint of meaning for me is that from his vantage point at the safety spot, if Sean Clifford was a disaster, if Sean Clifford was the quarterback that Josh Perry from BTN said, if he was that guy every single practice, I don't think Jaquan Brisker would really get into all that. But on the other side, he's kind of backing up the coaching staff talking points and saying that it's about preparation and hard work. And I think that can take Sean Clifford someplace good this year. But, you know, to me, it's not the reason you say, hey, he's going to be the best quarterback in the country because he prepares. But it's, you know, I think it's just a little tiny seed of optimism, I suppose, as the season is set to kick off.
Well, you know, as teammates, this is kind of their responsibility to talk that way. UCLA beat a Hawaii team that was overmatched over the weekend. And I heard an interview with Dorian Thompson Robinson, who's the quarterback at UCLA. And he called his running back tandem the best in the country. And I challenge anybody to correct me on that. That's what you do as a good teammate. I give Brisker credit for it. I don't put a lot of credence into it, except for you have to like that. He pointed out it's the way he prepares and leads. There was some specifics to it. So that was a nice compliment. Much rather hear that than to have him say, I guess he's okay, right?
Yeah, he's somewhere. He's a tick above average, perhaps. that would be very troubling. So we'll see. I mean, it is going to be a fascinating thing. I know I'm not telling people anything they haven't already heard, but it's just going to be a fascinating storyline to watch it unfold. You know, I think Sean Clifford's journey has been up and down, to say the very least. And I think anybody with a soul is just hoping for this kid, because he's done so much right and he's prepared the right way and, you know, all that. Like, I would like for somebody who puts in all the time and the work to experience the success with that. And so that's how I feel about Sean Clifford, just as an individual player. And then just from a football team standpoint, not much really is going to happen when it comes to Penn State accomplishing their goals without Sean Clifford being a very good quarterback. So that's, you know, those are the stakes, and we all know the stakes going into the season.
I'm much more on the bullish side. I think Sean Clifford is going to have a nice season. I think Mike Yurcich will be a big help. However, he and the team have to deal with a pretty tough schedule this year. Our good friend Bill Connolly, he ranks schedules and has Penn State with the 10th toughest schedule in the country. It's going to start out tough just by being in the specific division that they're in college football.
I mean, there's that for sure. There's, you know, catching Wisconsin on the West Division crossover is difficult no matter what. But catching Wisconsin in week one, I mean, there aren't a lot of teams in the country that you'd rather see less than Wisconsin in week one. I've said this before, like, you know, it's a really difficult start, because that's a team that's going to be very well connected to who they are and what they do and their systems and that kind of thing. And, you know, for Penn State going into the season, trying to find its way, trying to find its rhythm with another coordinator. I mean, this is one, it's a situation where not only is it a tough opponent, it's a very tough time for that opponent. And then, you know, looking back at how last year unfolded with losing five in a row, you have to be ready one way or the other to get into week two, because the challenges don't really stop. You know, Ball State was an 8-1 team. Auburn is going to be a talented team coming north for that huge game in week three. You know, you're going on the road to Iowa. You're going on the road to Ohio State. Michigan's coming to town. Indiana's coming to town. I mean, the consistency of the challenges on this schedule is the real key. And, you know, they're just going to have to be ready. And I think it's going to depend upon team leadership. Player leadership really helps in these situations to make sure that there aren't any, you know, mental let-ups. That there aren't, you know, whether win, lose, whatever, you're not flat the following week, you know? So I think that's going to be key, is just consistent effort each and every week with the schedule.
I think the difference this year, Dusty, is there are other years when I will look at the schedule of 12 games and say, you know what, here are 8 or 9 wins. Here's one loss, typically Ohio State. And then there's two games that I say, all right, this will define whether they're 10-2, 11-1, or 9-3. This year, I'm not saying they're going to lose these games, and you mentioned all the teams, but there are actually six games that I would call losable. And those are Wisconsin, Auburn, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, and Michigan. And if you want to say the prediction is they'll lose to Ohio State, well, then there's five of those games that are up in the air. That's a lot of toss-up games, and it's tough to come out of that with 10 wins. All right, Dustin, let's take a look. There aren't a lot of them, but there are a couple position battles still going on.
Yeah, and Franklin didn't really get into a lot of specifics, but he did speak in the midway point of last week just about where things stood. And in a couple of them, he didn't name his second quarterback, but he kind of said it would be obvious if you've been paying attention. So that would likely be Taquan Roberson in that position. Again, not a big surprise. You would hope that your redshirt sophomore is able to pull away from the true freshman at this point in time. Number two safety, it would look like Jair Brown. Again, Franklin just threw some breadcrumbs out there. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they manage that rotation. And especially, you know, we'll get into Wisconsin this week, but I think they're gonna be called upon to have, you know, 5-6 defensive backs at the ready against this team because they've got so much depth and experience at those playmaker spots. The left guard spot is one that I think will be interesting, and they've used this tactic before where you've basically got two co-starters and these guys are alternating series in some way or another until somebody makes it crystal clear through game action that job is there. So maybe it's Anthony Wigan as a starter. Maybe it's Eric Wilson rotating in with him. Maybe it's Des Holmes. You know, I'll be really curious to see how that goes, but I do think that's going to be a spot where they split some time up. And then number four, number five receiver jobs. How open are they? You know, Cam Sullivan Brown and Daniel George, we've heard very, very little from these guys. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be a factor. But to me, I mean, it's now or never for them. Are they going to lock down those spots? I'm kind of working off the assumption that Keandre Lambert-Smith is the number three. So how open are the rest of the spots there? Can Trey Wallace and Liam Clifford make a move? I'm really curious to see early in the season if they find a way to get these guys on the field and see what they can do.
It's interesting because that's a position that Penn State has shown. They are willing to play true freshmen. They did with two of them last year, so it is possible for true freshmen to get on the field. I think it'd be fun for the fans also to see a Sean Clifford to Liam Clifford hook up there. All right, that's it for our news and notes in quarter one. Stick around in quarter number two. We'll get to our season outlook. DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. And all customers can double their money as long as Tampa Bay doesn't lose by 74 points. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.